And I'm going to start with verse 2, 3, 4, and 5. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Healed is a wonderful word. We're praying for Sister Joy that God will heal her from this stuff that's going around in this metroplex. I believe God's a God that heals. Number 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Look at me a minute. This is going to be a self-centered moment. I want you to look at me. My friends, I have been to the very gate of the grave. And I've been brought back virtually, not literally, from the dead. On 2 occasions, they pulled the sheet over me. On both times, I blew the sheet off in their face and they almost died. Oh Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive. It's one thing to be brought back from the near death. It's another thing to be alive. That doesn't mean just breath and heartbeat. That means living it. That I should not go down to the pit, and that means hell. I have a friend that died as a 2-star general. He was a colonel when he was shot down over North Vietnam. He was with the United States Air Force, General Robinson Reisner. Colonel when he was, as I said, when he shot down. And I kept inviting him to go back to Vietnam with me because I have a very strong ministry in that great country. And for 3 years and 6 invitations, twice a year I invited him. Finally, on the 3rd year, invitation number 6, he decided to go. I always said, I'd go to the very gate of hell for that man, but I ain't going in for him or anyone else. I've been brought, that I should not be brought down to the pit. So God heal me. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Now verse 5, very important. For his anger endureth but for a moment. I wish we could all learn that. Some people get angry and carry it the rest of their lives. There are people that did not like Obama. There are people that do not like Trump. And people who carry that hatred in their heart are not destroying Obama or Trump. They're destroying themselves. It's okay to be angry, but not to sin in your anger. Be angry and sin not, the Bible teaches. For his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm going to talk about the contrast. The contrast between the joy and the suffering. Life is filled with suffering. You're looking at a man that is a lot of suffering. Matter of fact, it's been a lot more lately. I'm again a patient at Brooke Army Medical Center where I was taken after I was injured in Vietnam. I'm back in the same hospital again. They have rebuilt my nose. I have a nose. I had only a nostril. Now I have a whole nose. It's a boy. I wear a hairpiece, I think most of you know that. Underneath my hairpiece, they made a huge hole. You could stack 3 silver dollars in that hole. I didn't know there was that much flesh on top of your scalp, on top of your skull. And they kept it attached, and they swung it down and made me a nose. They made it too large intentionally because in the next few weeks, they're going to go in and carve it and make it shape up like this other side. I had one nostril, but it was contracting to the point I couldn't breathe through my nose. And I was breathing constantly through my mouth, which deteriorates your teeth. And it's just not healthy to breathe through your mouth all the time. That's why God gave us a nose to filter. And now I can breathe through my nose. How many people gave a testimony of that? So I know I'm weird, but that's all right. I'm weird in a wonderful way, I hope. So I have a nose, and they made me 2 eyelids, an upper lid and a lower lid now. And I have eyelids, and then my mouth, which if you all remember was inverted out and I drooled a lot, constantly having to, now they've taken skin and made the whole mouth released, and it still has some work to be done, but I can now have a mouth, my lower lip is level instead of pulled down, my eyes normal, my hair is artificial, I don't mind it, it was blown off in Vietnam, but it's blown off in South Carolina the other day in a high wind. Have you ever chased your hair across a parking lot? Better yet, do you ever have a dog bring it back to you? That's embarrassing. My ear fell off when I was preaching in Jamaica. I stuck it back on. They thought it was a miracle, and they all got saved. And that's a true story. I couldn't tell them it wasn't real. They would have thought I was a phony preacher, and they would have stoned me. And I didn't want to come today and tell you I went to Jamaica and got stoned. If you're listening to me, we're laughing about my facial disfigurement. We're laughing about it. Why not laugh about it? The devil took his best shot, lowered the boom and fired, hit me, knocked me halfway into eternity. And I'm still here because no weapon formed against me can prosper. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about him. I'm just a vessel, a very broken vessel, but put back together in the image of Christ, which, by the way, was a broken vessel. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. So I'm talking about being broken. I'm talking about the difficulties that come in life. There's something about suffering that we need to remember. It ain't all bad. And you say, wait a minute, if you suffer, it's got to be bad. Oh, really? Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. None of us want to suffer. None of us want pain. I'm not a sadist, much less a masochist. I don't want to hurt, and I don't want to hurt someone else. But when you get hurt, when the vessel is broken, while it's still being restored and repaired, it'll never, ever be without a scar or a crack in the broken vessel. And I'm going to say this to you, and I hope you get it. It's only a short period of time compared to eternity. Jesus spoke, and concerning himself, the Bible talks about the fact that he suffered, but they couldn't kill him. They would have stoned him prematurely to death. They would have killed him in several opportunities, but the Bible said his hour was not yet come. Why did they call it the hour? Because it has a beginning, it has an endurance, and it has an ending. Suffering is but for a short period of time. Joy comes in the morning. The secret was said by Kathy, it was said by Pastor, it was spoken of on several occasions without any of them knowing what I was going to say. But I'm going to tell you, with impatience, we destroy the work of God because we are not willing to wait upon the Lord. And there's two ways to consider that wait. One is to be patient, to wait. The other is to serve. They call them waiters, waitresses, because they're servers. When you serve the Lord, you're waiting on him. That is okay. They that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. So on July 26, 1969, for some of you, that was right after the War of 1812. I know what you're thinking. You're so young, you say 1969. It's like me thinking of 1920. But I got to tell you something. It was like yesterday to me. It was just the other day that a bullet went through the back of my hand. And the world's terminology, a sniper got lucky. And I often wondered, why didn't God stop that bullet? Why didn't he stop that bullet from hitting that grenade and blowing my face off, ripping my chest open, setting on fire my body from the waist up, losing half my skin, my sight, my hearing? For a period of time, I could neither see nor hear out of my right eye or right ear. I got both of them back. Thank you, Jesus. That is important. But why, if he didn't do it, and I know he didn't do it, why didn't he stop it from happening in the first place? It takes just as much of a miracle from God to do something as it is to prevent something from happening that is set in motion. Why didn't he miraculously stop that 7.62 bullet out of the muzzle of an AK-47? I'm going to tell you why. Because there was a period of time in suffering when I needed to learn the lessons of life. He didn't do it to me, but he didn't stop it from happening. Took me a long time to figure that out. In fact, I didn't figure it out. Someone else figured it out for me. When they told me, it set me free. And I'll tell you who, where, when, what, and why. And it was on TBN one night when Jan Crouch looked at me and she said, "You know why God let you be scarred, maimed, and burned, don't you?" And I'm thinking, no, I don't know why, but this blue-haired wonder is about to explain it to me. I was so mad at her, I could have pinched her head off, but it wasn't the Jerry Springer show. And then she lowered her glasses, and she looked over them at me, and when a woman does that to me, I just go upstairs and stand in the corner where she's about to send me. She looked at me and she said, "Dave Reaver, Jesus didn't do that to you. He didn't shoot you. He didn't set you on fire. But he didn't stop it from happening because," and the word "because" was the entrance to a new world. She said, "because he trusted you with the scars." Pastor called them stars. Nothing beautiful about them to me. In fact, I have a picture on my phone with all those scriptures. I have a picture of what I looked like when I came out of surgery 8 weeks ago. It was 12-hour surgery with three teams of doctors working on just my face, trying to make it presentable. I told them before I went in, "Some of you guys are uglier than me, and you never were burned." When people say to me, "What happened to your face?" I say, "What happened to your mother?" I shouldn't do that, should I? Y'all, that's not right. That is not right. But Jesus said he'd forgive me even if I did say it. Whenever I came to from that surgery, I was in a half awake, half asleep state that in recovery. And I was coming out of a dream. You know what my dream was? A lion was eating my face. That's what I was dreaming. Because even in my dream, the pain of my face was so horrific that in my sleep, there had to be a cause for that pain. You don't just have pain. You got to find out why. Pain is the best thing God ever gave us. It tells us something's wrong. If we didn't know something was wrong, if we didn't know why our left arm hurt, why our chest ached, we wouldn't know we're having a heart attack. We wouldn't get help. We'd die. Pain is a gift from God. Think about what I just told you. If you didn't have a pain in your conscience, how would you know it was wrong to do what you're doing? It's a gift from God. And I woke up thinking I'm being eaten by a lion, and I translated, I'm sure you understand. There is a devil out there as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I woke up and realized I'm not being eaten by a lion. I'm just in a lot of facial pain. It's the worst pain I've had since my back pain, which was the worst pain I'd had since my injury in Vietnam. Now, I'm happy to tell you, I got over the injury in Vietnam. I got over the back pain, 12 screws and two rods in my back, hold my back together. I had, until just a couple months ago, I had a brace that held my leg straight. Otherwise, I couldn't walk at all. I'd fall down. My leg was paralyzed. I got rid of the brace. I still have the rods in my back, an artificial knee. I have a steel braid that holds my chest together inside of me. I've got a steel bar that holds my ear on. I have an eye cover that I look through because the eye doesn't blink. Even though I have eyelids, I see perfectly through the eye with the cover. I have a hair. When I die, they're going to open an Ace Hardware at the cemetery. Come get your parts. Well, thankfully, on the resurrection morning, that weight of sin will be left behind. I ain't taking all that steel to heaven. I may not wear out, but I may rust out. We got to pray about that. For years, I've been saying 70 would be the greatest year of my life. It's already begun to be the greatest year of my life. God has opened doors I never dreamed could be opened. Out of what? Out of tragedy and out of suffering. And the lesson I learned is to have compassion for other people who hurt. I understand their pain, and I can say I know how you feel, especially if they've been burned. Not if they've been divorced. I've never been divorced, so I don't know what to say to somebody who's been divorced. I don't have the right words other than to say Jesus knows, because he came to his own and his own received him not. He knows what divorce feels like. So the best I can tell you is today, God didn't do this to me, but he didn't stop it because he trusted me with the scars. And when I stand in a public school and speak, those kids listen to me because they think of themselves on the inside to look like I am on the outside. And when I'm through speaking, the worst of the worst, as the principal told me once, They're none of them worse. They're not bad kids. They're hurting kids. The worst of the worst line up to talk to you. We can't get them in a counseling session. We can't do anything with them. They're a constant problem on this campus. And yet they rushed to you. Yeah, and I said, and when they got there, they rolled up their sleeves and showed me the scars where they had cut their wrist. They told me the story of their inner pain. Suffering's not fun, but it's priceless. It's invaluable. I don't recommend it. I'm not looking for it. It's out there looking for us. And when it comes, don't blame God. Realize that out of your suffering, you're about to understand somebody else's pain better than you ever did before. And you're going to have a message of hope in their world of hurt. And you can change their lives. Jesus didn't go to Calvary in a limousine to die by lethal injection. They crucified the worst form of death known at that time. They crucified the Son of God. Hands up. Palms out. When we looked at his visage, he was not comely to see. It was horrible. And when he says to me, Dave Reaver, I know how you feel. I trust him. I believe he knows how I feel. When I looked at that picture of my face, a darkness came over me. This was a little over just under 8 weeks ago. A darkness came over me. A dread came over me. A fear came over me. Satan was doing everything in his power to take me down. This was 8 weeks ago. I'm not talking about 48 years ago. I'm talking about 8 weeks ago. And I looked in that mirror and I saw what I saw on my camera, on my phone. I said, dear God, what have I done to myself? Why did I seek any help? I could breathe through my mouth for the rest of my life. But now I'm ruined. If you saw the picture, it looks like a garbage truck full of rotten vegetables backed up and just dumped the whole load right in my face. It's exactly what it looks like. I looked over at my sweet little patient wife. I said, why do you love me? I just wanted to give you the best years of my life that I have left. I want to give you somebody that maybe people won't talk about when my back is turned. I want my grandchildren, my children, to have a grandpa and a dad that you don't have to make excuses for. I just want it to be normal. When I saw that, for the first time in my entire life after my injury, I had a panic attack. I've had three panic attacks. I don't have many more, but I did right after the surgery. I'd never had a panic attack in my life. I heard people talk about them. I didn't know what it meant. Now I know. I know. That darkness swept over me and it tried to steal my hope. But the greatest lesson I have ever learned out of suffering is if you don't lose your hope, you will come back strong. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your hope. Because that's the last line of defense against suicide. That's the last line of defense against the negative behavior that will take you to your premature grave. Don't lose your hope. Some of you are hearing me. Now you're starting to listen to me. Everyone hears me. But are you listening? Some of you are going through the darkest time of your life. And you're experiencing right now things that are trying to rob you of your hope. Don't give up the ship. Joy comes in the morning. Is it well with your soul? If it's not, today's the day to get it right. That song was written by Horatio Spafford. Three daughters drowned at sea on their way home to Europe. His wife survived alone. She was the only one who made it. She wrote back to her husband in Chicago, whose business had burned to the ground and his son had died. He lost all of his children, and his wife was the sole survivor off that boat of that family. She wrote back these two words, survived alone. I can't think of anything more depressing, more sad, more dark That's worse than death, is to survive alone. Some of you are living there today. You have survived and you're alone. And you are alone because you don't let Jesus come into that dark night with the light of hope. And one of the reasons is, if you get your hope back, you think people will stop caring about you. If you get your hope back and you find brightness in the darkness, you're afraid that you'll lose benefits. I actually have had warriors come through my program that say, I don't want to get healed because if I do, I'll lose my monthly check from the VA. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I would not only gladly stop all the subsistence I've had from the VA since my injury, I'd give it all back if I could have my face for a month, just a week, maybe even a day, to look in a mirror and not have the pain behind every one of these scars. I'd give it all back. Because my source is not the Veterans Administration. My source is not the government. My source is not Dave Reaver. My source is Jesus Christ, who is absolutely without fail the only hope I've ever had that never misfired. Jesus never fails. Say it with me. Jesus never fails. So I recall when my dad passed. You knew him well, Brother Nichols. You knew my daddy. He was a great man. 92 years old when he passed. His dad lived to be 103. Think of that. I don't know if I want to live that long or not. Not unless I'm in the health my grandpa was in. He was in great health. My dad was in great health, except he couldn't walk very well. Went to sit down in his wheelchair and wasn't locked, and it rolled back, and he fell straight down and broke his hip, and they couldn't wake him up after surgery. He went on to be the Lord. You know when he died? 1 second past the stroke of midnight. His joy came in the morning. He had suffered, but his joy came a second past minute. Let me tell you something. Some of you are hurting. Your joy is coming in the morning, and the tick of the clock is in your favor. The hour has not come to an end yet, but it will. And when it does, deliverance is yours to share to those who are going through their hour. You learn through the things you suffer. Does that make any sense? They don't send them to me because I'm good looking. They don't send them to me because I'm strong. They don't send them to me because I'm wise. They send them to me because I have scars in all the right places. You can't look at me without seeing the scar tissue. And when you do, you know that I know how it feels to live in a dark place and to come through it with victory. Kick the door down that's kept you in. Tear down the walls you built to keep people out that only kept you in. Tear down those things between you and God. Forgive those that sinned against you. Forgive God that he didn't answer your prayer the way you thought it should be answered. And in your impatience, you gave up on God. And when you did, you lost your hope. Let's rebuild our heart today. Let's have a new start today, not putting it off till later. You say, well, Brother Dave, I'm at the end. It's been a long road. Who knows where the end is? Don't tell me you're at the end. Who knows where the end is? Your best days may lie in front of you. You may see more done in 1 year than you have your entire life. Because God's that kind of God. So 70 is going to be my best year. I may make it to 74, 75. It's, right now, I'm a 20-year-old boy. The doctors told me I would not live past 50. I turned 70 the other day. 70 is a new 50. 50 is a new 30. And according to Common Core math, I'm 19 years old. Thank you. Young and just getting started. So I close by telling you this. Don't lose your hope and don't get old. And you say, what? Don't get old. Brother Dave, we all get old. Oh, no, you don't. Not unless you choose to. Your body may, but that's only 1/3 of your existence. Your existence is spirit first, soul second, body third. So your body gets old and dies. How old is your spirit? Tell me, how old is your spirit? If it lives forever and it's eternal, how old is it? Duh. That one's easy to figure out. Stay young in the Lord. That's called life. And that's what the Bible says, as I read to you, that he gives us life. It's not just the heartbeat and breath. It is the joy of existence. This is the life. that God has for us. So when they call me and they say, would you help our warriors? I said, let me pray about it. Amen. Okay. I got a call or an email. Now it's 3 weeks ago. Special Operations Command South. That's the Green Beret, Navy SEALs, Force Recon of the Marine Corps. All the branches of service, Special Forces, are under SOCOM South in this particular group of people. There's also other Special Operations Command for different parts of the world. But for the South, it includes all of the southern part of the United States all the way down to the tip of South America and Central America, everywhere in the South. But they cross over, and they'll be in Iraq and Afghanistan, wherever. Well, not long ago, I was in Afghanistan a couple years ago. And while I was there, I visited with the Special Operations Command of the Afghan National Army. They have what's called Special Forces Commandos. These are their special operations, their Green Beret, their Navy SEALs, all in one group. And this group had been injured. Every one of them had lost one or both legs. Every one of them. They didn't have good prosthetics, bad stuff on legs, and it was causing infections. I went and visited them. And while I was there visiting, and with your permission, I'll sit down a minute. While I was there visiting, I noticed that they leaned forward a little bit in their chairs to what I was saying when I talked about resiliency, which is the theme of my job with Department of Defense. I am a resiliency coach in a program called the Comprehensive Soldier Fitness Program, which includes the body, the soul, and the spirit. They actually believe in a trinity of the human existence, which is our reflection of God. That's how we look like God. We're man, body, man, soul, man, spirit. He's Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and that's our likeness. Otherwise, we don't look like God because we don't even look like each other. How can we look like God if we don't look like each other? Do you look like God? I don't think so. So not in a physical sense, but in the Trinity experience, we look like God. And that's why I get to talk about my faith when chaplains can't. I get to. And that's what Pastor was referring to. And so wherever I go, I have the opportunity to talk about faith. Well, I talked about faith to the Special Operations Command of the Afghan National Army. And it left them on the edge of their seat with so much expectation. And these kids are Muslim. And their leader is Muslim. And he's an E9, which Gunny will know what an E9 is. That's as high as you get in the enlisted ranks. He's a command sergeant major. And his name is Muhammad Wafa. And Muhammad looked at me and he said, can you bring your program to our people here? I said, let me ask you a question. Can you bring your people here to our program in America? He said, we don't have that kind of money. I said, now you do. You heard, as you hopefully said those words that were on that screen, you heard the repetition of the audience talk about various sources of God's blessing. The one that started out was the most important was to win souls. That's first and foremost. You take care of that, everything else will slowly but surely take care of itself. I went over there to win their hearts and minds, but I got the bonus. I said I would put up the money. If I have to, I said I'll pay for everyone. The airline tickets alone, just to get them over here and back, was $37,000. I didn't have that kind of money. And then I got a little call from SOCOM South, down at Hurlburt Field and down at Miami at Homestead Air Force Base where SOCOM South is stationed. Mr. Reaver, we'll pay the $37,000 for you. They brought them all the way from Kabul, Afghanistan to San Antonio, Texas. Our ranch bus picked them up, got them loaded up with their artificial limbs that were, again, so poor, got them in the bus, brought them out, and their lives go into high-speed change. The rules were they get to pray to Allah three times a day, spread their rug, and bow to the east. Their rules were no pork. Their rules were no women. I said, that last one, you guys are crazy. Just flat out stupid. I don't know what kind of God you serve, but if he doesn't want you to have women, there's something wrong with that God. He saw the necessity of a woman with just one guy named Adam. So they come. We break three times a day for them to pray. First day they prayed three times. Second day they prayed two times. Third day they saw Charity, who's the girl that I talked about on that video that had been burned from head to toe, 87% third degree. And they said, what happened to her? It was inadvertent they saw her. It was an accident of timing. It wasn't no accident with God. I said, you want to hear her story? Oh, yes. I said, she's a woman. You got to look at a woman. Oh, no problem. She shared her story. That was the last time they bowed to the east. I'm just telling you what happened. The next day they said, can we have Charity again? I said, well, we've got other guys to speak. No, we want Charity. I said, okay, you can have Charity. Next day, okay, we got more. No, we want Charity. Every day they wanted Charity because Charity gave them hope in Jesus. When it was over, they still didn't care that much about the pork. But the women and Jesus were okay. And whenever we had graduation night, Muhammad Wafa went out and he knelt down on the concrete floor in front of the packed house of guests for graduation. And he slapped that cold concrete floor and he said, in Afghanistan, this is what we sleep on. But I came to America and Mr. Dave gave me a bed to sleep on and a pillow for my head. And my mind raced back to the conversation in Afghanistan when he told me the first time he ever killed a man was when he was 11 years old and he killed the man that murdered his father. And from that point, he couldn't remember all the Russians he had killed. Fighting for the Americans, the first Afghan to meet the American forces following 9/11 in Afghanistan. He met them with horses and mules and equipment to help our special forces go in and mark targets for smart bombs. An amazing young man. He said, Mr. Dave gave me the best food. He said, and Mr. Dave is a Christian. And there was a long pause. And he said, I can no longer call Mr. Dave my friend. My heart went to my feet. I almost burst out in tears. I didn't know what had happened. And then he resolved it when he said, today and forevermore, I shall call him my brother. There is no fellowship in light and darkness, the Bible teaches. Brothers share the fellowship of the light. I am convinced he gave his heart to Christ. I'm also convinced that I'm doing the right thing to sponsor him to come back to America with his wife and kids after he's now finished his military commitment. God has a plan. And the email asked me if I would go back to Afghanistan, build a unit outside the wire, they call it, on Afghan territory, not on a military installation, and bring our program to Afghanistan. They've asked me to be a missionary. I said, let me pray about it. Amen. Okay. There's some things you don't have to tarry to get an answer. Amen. And so today, I can verify, I can authenticate, and I can make you a promise that his word is true. That there are tears and suffering for a season, but joy comes in the morning. I'm living the most exciting days of my life, and I got a new nose as a benefit. I can sniff out the devil better and know where he's hiding. Well, you can see I'm not very theologically deep, not very profound theological exposition, but I can tell you this. I know Jesus. And I love the story, as I close, of Mrs. Einstein, who was being interviewed by the media. And they said, Mrs. Einstein, do you understand the theory of relativity? She said, absolutely not. They said, do you believe in the theory of relativity? She said, absolutely, yes. And he said, how can you believe in something you don't understand? Why, she said, I know Albert. There's a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand why suffering is part of the human experience. I don't understand gravity. I don't understand the theory of relativity. Let me tell you what I do understand. I understand that if I know Jesus, it doesn't matter what I don't know. It matters what I do know. And I do know he is the Son of the Most High God. I do know he's risen from the dead. I do know he's coming back for me. And I do know that I'm in righteous and right relationship with Jesus. And there is nothing else that matters more than that. I'll figure out what I can as I can. But until that day, I'm perfectly happy serving the Lord. Are you happy? Right now, in Kerrville, Texas area, out in the hill country, we're building again. We have a chapel that we're building. I got all the money for the chapel, so I'm not going to ask you to help me build a chapel. We got all the money for the whole thing. It's sitting in the bank. We're waiting on our construction crew to get there. Foundation is already poured. Electrical is there. Water's there. We have to put a sewer program in, but that's okay. That's included in the money we have set aside to pay for the chapel. Tomorrow morning, they start, and in two more weeks, they will have finished what has started about a month ago, a brand new idea. We're building a couple's cabin. It's going to have a couple in it for a week at a time, and they're going to show us if there are changes that need to be made to make it more perfect for the use by couples. The wars are over so far in the larger sense. We don't have the mass of wounded coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan like we did for about 13 years. Now we're healing what's called the marriages. They came home and it fell apart. And we're focusing on married couples right now to the huge degree that we are. And we're building 8 cabins. The first one is a model home to be understood. They cost $25,000 to build. They're not large, but they're beautiful. They're immaculate, perfect. We're building 8 of them. First one paid for by a church in Orange Beach, Alabama, down there in Pensacola, Florida. They already paid for it. Island Church. Freddie Frank's pastor. They said, we're going to build the first one. We got the second one going to start as soon as 2 weeks have passed. They'll finish this one. We put a couple in there for a couple of weeks, and we're going to see what needs to be done, if anything. And then we start number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. If you want to help me build this next one, there's going to be an offering taken, and you can support that cause. If you do not want to, that's perfectly fine. I'm not here to get your money. I'm here to get your heart. Because there are some people that gave it all for our freedom, and they came home. And there was nothing here for them. One man came home. His story breaks my heart. He came home. His wife did not meet him at the airport. He got to his house and it was empty. She had moved in next door with the neighbor and was pregnant with the neighbor's child. When he heard that, he became instantly suicidal and an overnight alcoholic, if that's possible. It was with him. He's been through our program. He's getting his life back together. Alcohol's gone. Hope has replaced the darkness. And I got to tell you something, folks. If that was the only man I ever won, it was worth it. But we got 3,000 that are being impacted constantly by our program. I'm asking you to help me help them. They gave you the right to be in this room without a Taliban hand grenade down the aisle or an Al-Qaeda truck bomb in the parking lot. This is your chance to say thank you to those who let us come here and have church without fear. God bless our troops. I can see you guys you're quick on the draw. Thank you. Lastly, and let me check my time. I'm just about perfect on time. Although no one told me when to quit, I want to tell you that if you're blessed and can, if you gave a $1,000 gift, Al Banker Insurance of Fort Worth, Texas. Everybody heard of Al Banker? Let me see your hand. Who hadn't heard of Al? 1-800-THANKS-AL. Al Banker is a born-again believer. He matches every $1,000 gift up to $100,000. He's done it 6 times on the 100. This man believes in what we do. We build a cabin for $25,500. We can build it for $12,000, 250, because he'll match that. Would you be part of it today? You can make your check, I'm certain, to the church, right, Pastor? Make the church, that's what it's accounted for. If you want to give by credit card, when you buy the books, the two books and get the bracelet, or if you buy anything at the table with a credit card, you can make your donation there. We give the pastor an exact accounting of a $1,000 gift or more, and it's matched. Any gift, let me tell you something. To a widow, a mite was $1,000. Amen. You understand that. So it isn't the amount you give. It's only an accommodation for those that give that $1,000. You can have it matched. Thank you for letting me mention that. Thousand is spelled T-H-O-U-S-A-N. I just want to make sure. Are you okay with that? If it offends you that I talk about it, I wasn't talking to you. I'm sorry. You misunderstood. I was only talking to people who are not offended. That's the ones I was talking to. So you can't be upset at me. I wasn't even talking to you. I was only talking to those that do not get their feelings hurt when somebody says it's time for payback. Let's give these warriors a second chance. Amen. Thank you so much. While you're giving, I'll play a little short video. It lasts 4 minutes, and then we're going to have prayer together. Would you please roll that video?
Angel Flight Bravo 03, gear down 5 miles, have a hero on board tonight. Angel Flight Bravo 02, you are number one for landing. Welcome home.
As we end this time together, how many of you believe there's another angel flight coming? When the angel of the Lord no more suffering, no more pain. I won't ever have another day of pain. I can't imagine it. I'm standing here today with my face feel like it's put into a vise and twisting it as the new skin is trying to grow, and it's not elastic. It doesn't give and take. It's just very difficult. That'll all be over. Think of that. Some of you who've lost your children, you never sleep a night without fading off into the night with tears. Some of you lost your spouse. No more suffering. Oh, the times I wish I could carry someone else's burden. If I could carry your load, I would. Nobody could carry mine. The closest one would be Brendan. She can't. But Jesus does every day. That's why I make it. That's why I don't wake up in a gloom. That's why I don't wake up in doom. I wake up with expectation. Would you stand with me all over the room? I'm going to give an invitation today. I usually do the invitation where people stand. A lot of times visitors are uncomfortable to make public decisions in places they've never been. I don't know if you're a visitor or not. This is for everybody in the house. If you're not ashamed to be seen standing up here with me, it wouldn't embarrass you to be identified with me. And you're in that dark night. You're in that pain. There's no joy in the morning. You got up this morning, no joy. You just need Jesus in every way. Whether it's for salvation, for healing of your body, healing of your spirit. You just want your joy back. And I'm going to invite you. I want to pray for you personally. I want you to come stand with me right now. Come on, I knew I wouldn't have to beg. Look at you. Come on down. You want your joy back. You want that peace that passeth all understanding. If you want to turn to someone and say, if you want to walk down, I'll walk with you. Encourage them. Say, if you want to go, I'll go with you. You don't have to go by yourself. Say, I'll walk with you. And you come on down with them and kind of help them. God bless you, friends. God bless you. You touch my heart. Wants to be able to laugh again, to smile, to smell the roses as it grew, to not go to sleep afraid of the dark. They're still coming. Still coming. Let me put a last call out. Last call if you're going to do it. Quit trying to talk yourself out of it. Just walk down here and let God change your life. Prayer changes things, and God's going to answer our prayers today. Last call. Anyone, if I see you walking, I'll wait. If not, we're going to pray. Yes, ma'am. You're worth the wait, lady. I'm going to ask the congregation out there, not up here, but those out there, would you reach over and take a hand? Someone near you. If you're standing alone, that's all right. But if you're someone near you, take a hand. There's power. There's strength. There's synergy in believing together. There's unity that comes. I want that unity in this house right now. I want you that came forward to be the recipient of a very special prayer. It's not because of who's praying it, but because of who it's being prayed to. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord over all, and all is who you came to save. Jesus, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. Because, Lord, today the number one hindrance between prayers being answered or not answered, the number one hindrance is not forgiving those who sinned against us. Please forgive us that we, in turn, understand forgiveness as we forgive. Now, Lord, let your mercy, let mercy exceed goodness. By that I mean, Lord, care, be merciful, and let your goodness heal the brokenhearted as you said you were sent to do. Heal the brokenhearted standing right here, right now. Heal the broken. Lord, those that are sick, I pray, God, nerve endings will grow back together the way they were supposed to be. I pray, God, healing of bones, healing of muscles, healing of the body. Heal mind and body. And then, Lord, lastly, for those who stand here not only spiritually sick and dying, but those that are spiritually dead, I pray life. Lord Jesus, life. Life, come now. Life, be upon your children. Life, settle in the hearts of every one of us here. And as this congregation stands in unity behind them, honor this unity of faith. Honor this presence of God, yourself, and our unity. That when we ask, you do answer. So be it, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering in his house this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, I just got to tell you, I love you, and I'm so thankful to God that you were open-hearted to receive what he had to say. Okay, let's believe now that the sufferings are ended and the joy begins. All right, let's believe that. Church, let's believe. It's a new day. The past is behind us. Nothing you can do. You can't change it, but you can learn from it. Let's put the past behind us. Step into the new world of an excitement and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Pastor's coming to close. I want to tell all of you again how much it's been a joy for me to be here. Please, if you can, stop by the table. If you want to make that contribution, you can. If you want to pick up those books or that wonderful t-shirt, I'm just reminding you so that you don't forget when you walk out. Nothing, read what's left of these lips, nothing this ministry produces has any royalties attached. I don't take one penny royalty for any of the books, for any of the videos, nothing. You got that? Say amen. Every penny goes to one purpose, to help our warriors to get a new life. Their joy deserves coming in the morning too. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.